Hi, everyone, and welcome to Words of Wellness, the podcast for anyone interested in the ways we think, talk, and write about wellness. Why do we use so many motifs like journeys, gardens, even battles when we talk about wellness? How do writers explain science and wellness concepts? How can we make sense of the wellness information overload we all face? These are some of the questions we explore. I'm Daniel Anderson, and we're coming to you from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Today we have a research reporting episode. Our guests are developing research essays on wellness topics and will share some of their wisdom. Joseph Chin will be speaking on the brain, physical health, and discipline. Adriana Vigil will look at sleep and college-age populations. Neil Patel will be talking about self-confidence and health. Lainey Grant will address heat-related fatalities for athletes. And Darsh Shah will look at the links between health and success. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. We can start with introducing ourselves and what we wrote about. I can start here. My name is Darsh Shah. Welcome to our podcast. And I am writing about and going to speak about the link between health and success.
My name's Adriana, and I'm going to be discussing the importance of sleep, especially in college students.
My name is Lainey Grant, and I will be discussing fatality in high school heat stroke athletics.
My name is Neil, and I'll be talking about the importance of self-confidence and how that affects our overall health.
I'm Joseph. I'm focusing more on a part of the brain and how physical health affects it.
Lainey, congrats on winning yesterday. I saw that was huge. Quick question for you. How do you balance staying active with a busy schedule, and what strategies have worked the best for you?
There's a lot to do in the day with college athletics, school, and social life. So there's a lot to balance. I have a lot of resources here as a student athlete to help me along with that. But I think the most simple answer is keeping a planner and writing down my days ahead of time. Time management is really important, and I feel as a college student, not just as an athlete, you learn to really grow that skill once you leave high school and you're more on your own and you don't have people helping you out as much. So I would say just being smart about where you're choosing to spend your time and eliminating those pockets where you're wasting hours, maybe scrolling on your phone or doing pointless things when you could be maximizing your time doing something more beneficial.
Yeah, I'd love to redirect that question to everyone else here as well.
Just like keeping a schedule of what to do, taking like time out of my day to at least do some sort of physical activity, whether that be going on a walk or playing basketball or working out, making sure that I spend a little bit of time every day doing something that affects my physical health.
Yeah, so I know Lainey mentioned maximizing your time. I want to tie that into what I'm going to talk about. Before I get more into the specific part of the brain, I can pivot to how it would affect what Lainey's talking about. There's this concept called meta-discipline, which is the highest form of discipline. And it's basically saying that discipline isn't forcing yourself to do hard things, but rather creating systems where discipline choices becomes the default. So it's like what you're saying, where you're planning your day ahead of time, eliminating that excess noise, and just maximize your time, like how you would spend your day ahead of time. But I'm going to talk about more about the specific part of the brain that affects all of this later on. Yeah,
I would say for me, one thing would be staying flexible, even if schedules to focus on our physical health and wellness. We all know that things can happen that might affect the schedule we've made prior. Being flexible with everything that may occur in the day is something I prioritize, just because not everything is going to plan doesn't mean I have to let everything go.
Joseph, I'd love to learn a bit more about what you were saying there. I think your insights on discipline could be interesting to all of us.
Yeah, of course. I just want to pivot back to Adriana for a second. I know she mentioned staying flexible, which I absolutely agree with. I think flexibility is at the root of everything, including neuroplasticity. But flexibility to an overt extent is actually not very good, because three kind of reasons I've been able to narrow down to through my individual podcast being decision fatigue, glucose as fuel, and the finite resource model. What do I mean by that? There's a part of our brain called the AMCC, which is like a muscle. And I can give an analogy to help understand what it means. It's the part of your brain that's directly linked with your willpower and you're able to develop it through deliberate discomfort and challenges. It is a muscle, so it gets fatigued. If you're overly flexible, meaning you make too many decisions, you can cause decision fatigue. It also runs off of fuel from glucose. If you run out of fuel, that's also not the best.
Yeah, you can go ahead and respond to that.
I think in terms of my answer, I was thinking more of like general.
I definitely agree. Being too flexible, making decisions.
I think with anything, if you overthink, it's going to be challenging. But I think as a general rule of thumb, just because you might have slept in and, oh, this messes up. Oh, I was going to work out in the morning. Now this messes up. Like my whole schedule, just being like, oh, you wanted to go to the gym for an hour. You can still go for 45 minutes if you woke up late. So I think just like little things like that, not super big decisions that we'll be making that might affect super big aspects of your life. That's the kind of way I thought of it.
Yeah, totally.
I think your point about mental fatigue and decision fatigue is interesting because a lot of the times we have to automate the small decision. Just because if you spend too much time elaborating on those small decisions, you're not going to have time for the ones that actually matter. And so I think that does tie into not trying to be too flexible and think of 1,000 different ways you can approach your problem. Whereas if you automate several things in your life and focus on the things that really matter, that can mitigate decision fatigue.
Since you mentioned fatigue, the topic I talked about in my audio essay was getting enough sleep. So I wanted to ask you guys, how does not getting enough sleep affect you, especially in college, relating to your academic performance or your physical well-being overall? If you have any experience with that.
Yeah, of course. Not to take it back to AMCC again, but I actually covered how poor sleep affects this part of your brain through my individual podcast. Poor sleep reduces glucose availability to the prefrontal cortex and AMCC. Right now, I am not running on much sleep. Therefore, my glucose and my prefrontal cortex is pretty depleted, causing me to not really be able to form coherent thoughts.
I don't think it's about the amount of sleep you get. I think it's more about the quality of sleep because through my personal experience, whenever I get tired and then I go to sleep, even if I sleep for 5 or 6 hours, I feel like a whole new person. Whereas if I'm not tired and I sleep for 10 hours, I still feel groggy. When I sleep on my bed at home, 6.5 hours is good enough. Whereas in my dorm bed, I need 9 hours, 9.5 to like get the same quality of sleep. So I don't think it's like the amount of time. I think it's about the quality of sleep that you're getting.
Yeah, staying away from your devices and getting 6 hours of quality sleep rather than checking your phone every hour really changes everything. In 8 to 10 hours with your phone next to you, and you're checking your notifications all the time, is going to be better than the 5-6 hours you're getting when you're just constantly sleeping.
Yeah, I think sleep is really an understated superpower for a lot of college students. It's not something that people prioritize because you're going all day and then you're laying in your bed and it's finally your time to relax for a bit. And then you look at the clock and it's 2 a.m. For me personally, that can be a better discipline in my life because sleep isn't just about resting the mind. It really recovers your body as well. Prioritizing that aspect of my life could help me next year and for the remaining year.
So one quick question for everyone here. What's one small habit you guys have adopted that has significantly improved your physical or mental well-being?
I can start off here. I'm pretty extensive on my planning, but something that I've really subconsciously implemented is a time cushion for all of my events in the day. So what that kind of cushion does for me is it counts for the unaccountable. It allows me to still stick to my calendar despite the things that happen throughout the day, which I think has really upped my game in terms of planning.
One small habit that has improved my physical well-being is instead of taking the bus everywhere, I walk a lot more now than I did first semester. So I get quality downtime to process my thoughts as well as get physical exercise while walking everywhere I go.
One small habit would be, you guys probably see me in class drinking water. I just feel like when I'm not staying hydrated, my brain is less active. But that's one thing that has helped me. Something that's helped my physical health is planning my meals and cooking more, trying to stay away from eating out.
It's really easy to revert back to that after a long day and just go pick up some food. But planning before every week starts, the meals that I'm going to cook and make in the dorms has really helped me.
Yeah, very interesting. For me, it's been just the fact that no matter what time it is, I'll make time to go to the gym, mental block in my head. And I think that just sets a discipline from early on in the day that I know I'm going to do something that I'll enjoy at the end of the day. I think that will, in the long run, especially help my physical. And what's your guys' take on like modern technologies when it comes to mental and physical health? Do you think they're really helping, or are you trying to stray away?
For me, I would say definitely stray away, especially in my topic of sleep. You touched on it a little bit, Darsh, with the use of screen technology before bed, but using such devices, and we're so exposed to like digital devices in this blue light in general because of the digital assignments we have in school. It really affects the melatonin production that we get, impacting getting you sleepy. Overuse of technology in general can be very detrimental to setting a sleep schedule or feeling tired in general. When you wake up the next morning because you couldn't go to bed till 3 a.m., you're going to feel horrible. Technology has a big impact on the topic of sleep for sure.
It depends on how you're using it, per se. In my personal experience, I use like the website to develop like workout plans. I use like TikTok to see like what other people are doing in terms of like physical wellness and things. And then it can also be negative because someone might give you the wrong advice completely and it's not going to help you. With the cost-benefit ratio is not there whenever you're like spending as much time with something that's not helping you. And then for mental wellness, I think it's like bad because you're always going to be like comparing yourself to other people when you look at social media. You think of yourself as inadequate.
I think I actually have a more cool take. I think that this entire topic is over-stigmatized. I think that we can do a lot from shifting away from this and accepting that technology is the future and how we are going to best implement it into our lives. I know you guys are mentioning straying away from technology. I really don't think that it's going to be feasible like in 5 or 10 to even 5 years. And I think right now what we should like really be doing is just how we can maximize like everything using what we know is going to be the future.
I see it from the lens of the type of technology that my team in particular uses to help us with our physical wellness, like load tracking, injury prevention, recovery tools, heart rate monitors. It's such a normalized part of my daily routine that I couldn't imagine doing it without it. I agree. It's all about how much you're using. If it's having a negative effect on you, then just simply take it out of your life. But I would say for me, the technology for physical wellness is very normalized and I'm constantly dealing with it.
I also agree with your hot take that like we can't get like rid of technology in our daily lives because it's so ingrained in everything we do. We're using these laptops right now to generate what we do every day for our assignments, for learning tools. So I don't think we can stray away from it. We have to better implement the tools, like you said.
I think we can definitely take technology in a lot of places in our lives and leverage it with a grain of salt. But I also think that when you're speaking in terms of your wellness, and a lot of the times wellness for a lot of people, and your parents probably told you it's because of that damn phone. A lot of the times it is. No matter what aspect of wellness it might be, a lot of the times it's better to just stray away from it at an extent. I do agree, though, at like most levels of your life, professionally, career-wise, and with your relationships, a lot of the times it's pretty mandatory. New technology is going to make it even more mandatory. But from a wellness standpoint, a lot of the times it might. But that can be very.
I just want to throw this out there for a thought. Do you think I mentioned maximizing like use of technology, that our time like in college and just like throughout the next couple of years is going to be about like having like the highest baseline to interact with these technologies? What I mean is just still engaging in these like mentally exhausting like things so that you have a stronger baseline in terms of what you're thinking at. Once it compounds over a couple of years, like you're really able to reap the rewards through interacting with technology.
Could you give an example of what you mean by baseline in the context of this question?
Yeah. Say a middle school person and a high school person both uses ChatGPT for their school assignments. I feel like a high school person with that stronger baseline, meaning they have more knowledge into what kind of prompts to use, what society is looking for, and what their expectations are going to be. It's a very iterative process, right? A high school person is also going to be able to get better feedback on whatever they're trying to prompt because
they're going to have more awareness and know how to get more information out of whatever is available to them, meaning that they're more resourceful. Do you think that for the next couple of years, it's just going to be about us maximizing our abilities to be as resourceful as possible, if not for the rest of our lives?
I think, yeah, for sure. As technology progresses, I think younger people are going to begin to use that technology. I think it's a part of human nature for us to take advantage of things that make tasks easier. So I definitely think that it will become more relevant to our daily lives. But I think that we should try, at least for our younger generations, to not introduce them to generative. We should try our best to not introduce them to things like ChatGPT or other like generative devices early on, just so they can have that baseline, knowing the best prompt to use to input to the AI source, or just so that they have more availability to think on their own, because there may be a time where they might lose their technology. They may not be able to think for themselves. And if we constantly rely on this technology, there's going to become a point where we don't have our own thoughts. We don't have our own problem-solving skills. So I think it's important to set barriers of, I think especially in college, there's certain classes where there is these sort of barriers put in place. But in general, I think it's important to set barriers of when is it okay to use such sources and how does it affect the learning that we're doing, basically.
I think that the willingness to adapt and to learn, at the very least, for my script and what I wrote about was fatality in high school football in particular due to heat stroke. A lot of the reason why there continues to be 2 to 3 consistent deaths a year in high school is because people are unwilling to change how they used to go about pushing players and practices. So I think that can connect to the willingness for human nature to adapt, but there is a bit of pushback on AI. You see it in the different generations, how some people really support it and they're like, this is great. And then other people are like, this is going to completely end what you were thinking and what you were saying. And I think that is interesting to see the dynamic between that. As we continue to learn and as time passes, we'll see that smooth out a bit. And I hope that can translate to other things and willingness to adapt and to learn and to use the resources that we have, like generative AI and other technologies, to improve physical wellness, to keep athletes safe and to keep learning and growing in fields and things that we can continue to improve on.
Joseph, I think you brought up an interesting point about how as we progress, the like sole kind of goal of a lot of our lives is going to be to achieve as much as we can in a short period of time. And I think that ties into one of the quotes I mentioned during my podcast. I know we went over it as a class, but I can repeat it. It's a Steve Jobs quote. He says that at the end of his life, when he's on his deathbed, I reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life is the epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy. In the end, wealth is only a fact of life that I am accustomed to. At this moment, lying on the sick bed and recalling my whole life, I realized that all the recognition and wealth that I took so much pride in have paled and become meaningless in the face of impending death. I'd love you guys' like thoughts on that quote, like how it maybe applies to your life if you're being mindful in the long run.
I find it interesting how the creator of Apple overworked himself to the point where he had no joy in life. It shows us that like this like materialistic society that we live in, it's not like the end all be all. There are other things that are more important than just gaining wealth. We should prioritize. Sure, money is important to get the things we want, but at a certain point, when we have enough, we can just go on and live our lives happily. And we should prioritize spending our time on the things that we enjoy instead of just doing it for the money or for the work.
This quote reminds me of what he's saying. Is we all hear it before, we've all heard it before, is money equal to happiness or something along that lines? And I think it really depends on your background and where you come from. If you're already in a stable place of income, it's easy to say that money doesn't affect happiness levels. But if we look at very poor communities that have less access to things like medical care, clothing, or food, you're obviously going to be happier if you have basic necessities, which are made possible through having income. But I think it depends on like the level you start at. Obviously, if you're having so much money come in and it's what do I do with my life now, I can do literally whatever I want. How can I challenge myself? If I were to reach that point, I would say, how can I challenge myself mentally? Obviously, a lot of people in this life, it's all about money, which makes sense because money does make the world go round. I think it's a very hard question to answer one way, but that's just my thoughts. It really depends on where you start originally.
I would disagree in the fact that I don't think it's just necessarily about money for him. I think he was in the pursuit of being the best in the business, and I think that's what drove him to the point where he couldn't think of anything else other than his business and being the best. You get in these phases where your goals are everything to you. You put your head down and you work and you look up and you realize how far you've gotten and how small your circle is. Maybe that's something that he went through. Obviously, he wanted to make money and live a comfortable life. But for somebody who experienced so much success, it wasn't even about that. It was about cementing a legacy as being one of the most successful to ever do it. I think that's a double-edged sword that like people who are on pursuit of greatness have to juggle.
Yeah,
I see a pretty funny anecdote with Steve Jobs. It said that Steve Jobs wears the same turtleneck every day to minimize his decision fatigue so that he can maximize himself.
I think I've heard the anecdote from both of you guys quite a bit, where when you start at a lower point, you're going to want to push, get higher. But once you reach a certain point, it just gets to a point of, like you said, just putting your head down, and depends how much you want it. If you really want it, you're going to put your head down and make it happen and realize that you got lost in the sauce and just wanted to keep going. Whereas a lot of people, they might start at a certain point where once they become content, they realize that the people that helped them get to that point, they want to share their wealth with, and they can take a step back, value their relationships, value their health. It just boils down to a balance.
Balance is definitely important. It's really easy to get caught up in everything except for the social aspects of our college lives. I was crashing out with Darsh last week during one of our PitchCon meetings late night in the B school. I realized that I really didn't have a close group of friends around me, and that I need to make an effort to have more friends. Balance is super important, guys.
It's okay. We'll be your friends.
I think if I take one thing away from the podcast, I'll have you guys as my friends.
Forever. Social interaction and having these sorts of relationships in college or just in general is crucial to having good physical and mental, definitely mental wellness. Because having relationships like that give us people that we can talk to if we're having difficulties. It's always helpful to have someone listen and be there for you, for sure. I definitely agree. I definitely relate.
Thank you all for taking us through those topics. I appreciate the wisdom offered about how success can take many different forms and the need to prioritize. Thanks to Darsh, Adriana, Lainey, Neil, and Joseph. And thanks to our listeners. Stay tuned for another episode of Words of Wellness.